welcome. Tonight's topic will be on wisdom of protection. So wisdom is the application of knowledge based on understanding. So wisdom, you know, like you can learn from somebody else's experience or your own experience. So I want to focus on protecting your energy. So what I experience on a daily basis is what I have personally protect myself from is one, the negative people that we hang around, and we all have at least a couple. For the last, maybe it's coming to a year, I've been reading a lot of books more regularly and consistently. But the thing I picked up in like every book I read so far, it says, you are the average of five people you spend the most time with. And there's different people quoted and blah, blah, but when I looked it up, it's from this guy called Jim Rohn. And surrounding our surrounding with the people, they influence our behavior, our attitude, and our results. You want to say something, Sizzle?
Yeah, just in regards to the topic of, you know, if you hang around five successful people, you become the sixth one.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like it's a way to reflect. So when you're around people and you're going, okay, like those people reflect what's going on in your mind because you're constantly attracting things all the time. So it's about looking at the crowd you're in and going, this is, not saying it's a full reflection of you, but it's where you're at the moment. So it's sort of like a mirror to go, okay, if I'm constantly in a circle of people who are doing drugs, there's a reflection of what's going on within myself. And then that's when you can go, where do I want to be? Right, to make that contrast and go, yeah, this might be what's going on now, but where do I want to be? And when you shift mentally, then things can shift outside.
I just want to add, so I feel like environment plays a big part in this as well. So for example, you're at work, so you've got this one friend and you have that one thing in common, you know, you both like basketball, for example.
Yeah.
You've got nothing else in common. Everything else, they're just the complete opposite of you. But because you have that shared interest, you don't want to lose that person.
I can see two sides to this. And one is that the fact that we have this fear of lack, like I'm going to lose something, then it puts you on a back pedal. You feel like I got to be on my tiptoes all the time. I got to make sure everything I say, for example, in your example, this one friend that I have, I got to make sure everything I say they like. I got to make sure everything I do is acceptable to them. And what that does to us is it puts us in the position of a follower now. Now we're just at the back. If I feel like losing you is going to affect me more than it's going to affect you, then it puts me on a back pedal.
When it comes to like environment, it's not like you really want to always be in that negative environment or where it's just like all negative. Let's just give that meaning of like someone giving the energy that you don't. So you give that meaning of this is negative energy for me. Fair enough? It's so, when I think of wisdom or protection, it's like a boxing match. And this does link back to the speech as well, because you know how we talked about we want to help people, empower people to think differently. So in a boxing match, you don't want always to go on a defense, right? And you don't want always to go on an offense. Because why? It's a balance of both, because they could strike back too, and then they can block you. So there's a wisdom there. So like, let's say you and I are in a boxing match, and someone has good knowledge of boxing. So let's say he foresees me throwing a jab, and he knows how to counter a jab. So that leaves me open. So you have to have that wisdom too on, okay, if I throw this punch, this will leave me vulnerable here. So how would I protect myself there when I'm out, like, already in the punch? So it's like a back and forth. And it just reminds me of how Jesus lived his life, where in the morning he would connect to the Father to get that charge. And then he would go out to the darkness and be that light. And then he would do the same thing over and over. It's like a balanced routine.
I think you hit the jackpot there with that analogy of boxing match. And especially in the area where you said, if you can foresee the act of the enemy, or even not, even if we're not even using the word enemy, actually, if you can see the root cause of what people are doing, what they're doing, you could always see how it's going to go and where it's going to end up. It's like a foresight. You see it, see things take place ages before it takes place, and that puts you in a position to make the real decision of what exactly you need to do. And for example, a certain person might be going through a certain level of jealousy against me or so forth, but if I look at what they're doing as jealousy, it changes how I react to them. But if I see that so-and-so situation happened in their life when they were 18 or so forth, and that has injured them, and because of that they've held a grudge, then I know that jealousy is not really the problem, though it's the behavior and the outcome, but the root cause of what they're doing is something else. And so then I can dodge, and that helps me to dodge their punches. And when I counter, my counterpunch is not to knock them out, but to restore them. Because when I counter, I'm thinking of bringing them back to away from that state of bitterness.
So these are the effective ways that I have found that works for me to protect myself from, like, the energy that I don't want to receive. So I wrote, having a vision, knowing your why, self-awareness and self-control, management, and then being around people with positive energy. And why is vision helps? How does vision helps? Well, for me, vision, when you have an image of what you want to achieve, it makes it easier for you to say yes or no to whatever comes up. And an example, if you have a vision of you want to lose weight, right? So when someone, or you're feeling hungry, and then you thought comes up with, like, oh, let's go to Macca's, and then you have that knowledge of, oh, McDonald's won't be good for me. It will contradict what I'm trying to achieve in my goal. So that makes it easier for you to say yes or no to. So now you have that choice to decide where, all right, now I have the self awareness of this. If I go through with this, it will contradict what I'm trying to do with this. So that's just why I believe that vision helps. And it just helps you focus on that goal. So you know the right ingredients to take in. You want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to say that this is something that I've done as well. But I just want to mention, it doesn't have to be a big vision. It doesn't have to be like, I want to lose weight, or I want to get this job, or I want to get a house. It can just be something small, like I want to eat less, I want to snack less, you know, I want to eat less sugary foods.
It's like, it could be like I want to manage my time better, and then, or I want to have better sleep, and then someone invites you to a late night and have to go out and stuff like that, and you know, like, oh, if I go do this, I'll probably come back at like 2:30 in the morning, by the time I shower, blah, 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 I'll probably be better. 3:15, and then I have to wake up for work at 8. So you know, like, oh, this is not going to be good for me. And then, yeah, that's when you say, that's why it makes it yes or no so much easier. But if you have no vision, this is why I see a lot of people, they just go. They say yes to everything.
Yeah, and that's what I was like a couple of months back.
Yeah.
I was very, like, impulsive. Yeah, I was just like, oh, I feel like Macca's, I'll just go get a Macca's, yeah. But then recently I have been having that vision of, like, no,
it's the same with just before I came here. I was really hungry, and the first thing in my mind was Hungry Jack's. And I was like, that's not good for me. There's better choices out there. But for some reason, like, that one popped up first.
That's
but
a
then
shout,
I was
though.
Able to say no and go get something else healthier. It makes it easy because I had that vision of, I want to be healthier this year.
I just wanted to mention something about vision when you said the vision doesn't have to be big. Actually, when I look at my life, I used to think that way, but now I don't think that way anymore. And when I'm saying big, it's not in terms of material sizes. I think anything big is anything that goes against our paradigm, right? If something goes against the way we're currently thinking, it's big. Someone that used to wake up at 12 o'clock every day, and now you're telling them to wake up at 6 o'clock, That's big. It's like, it's a complete 180 change. A lot of people might look at it and say, oh, easy. But to them, it's like, it's a big transformation. It's a big change. I think every vision should be big. Because the idea is to break as much walls as possible, as much paradigms as possible. And so if it's a vision that you can do so easily, then it's a wrong vision. And Nelson Mandela said, there's no glory in playing small. If you know you can do it, you can wake up tomorrow and actually do it, then what's the point? What really is the point? A vision worth having, I think, is a vision that when you break those barriers and you overcome it, you can actually look back, call somebody else and say, hey, man, look what I did. And they can say, wow, how did you do it? If imagine you put a vision, you get to it, and you're ashamed to even tell somebody you did it. That tells you you didn't break any barrier. Like,
yeah, no, I completely agree. But I could sort of see what you're saying too, is like, I reckon the main thing is to have that big vision, like where you want to be, is to completely change your state of being, your state of mind. But to have that big vision, but you can set up little goals along the way to get to that big vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was saying exactly the same thing. I was just saying that we just got to make sure it's actually working towards breaking down a paradigm, at least one paradigm. Because think about it, if it's something that's not breaking down any paradigm, for example, if someone loves to cook, and then now they say, oh, my vision is to cook, they used to cook 5 times a day, now they say, my vision is to cook 6 times a day. It's not a big change. They've always loved cooking. That's all they did all the time. And so something like, I think that example that I gave before is what really gets to me. If you feel ashamed, like you go through, you have a vision and you get to the end of it and you feel ashamed to tell somebody, I think that tells you everything about the vision you had.
You know who else has a big vision? Oh, you want to say something? Joseph. So the story of that one sticked out to me why vision helped. So he had a preview, him sitting in Egypt, second in charge. But through his journey, there's this one bit that stuck out to me. It's that Potiphar's wife wanted to sleep with him while her husband was away. And let's say Joseph decided to follow that passion of lust and agreed to her and slept with her. And then what? Let's say she got pregnant. She's like another man's wife, and when he comes home, and what's going to happen? It would ruin his mission. Maybe he wouldn't even get to his destination if he took that route. But how he protected himself from her, it says in the Bible, in the story is in like Genesis 37, I think it started, but it said that he didn't even look at her. So this is what I mean by that environment, where to not get attacked by a croc-infested water, by a crocodile, this is not going to a croc-infested water, not playing around and, you know, risking like that attack. So it's, when you have a vision, you know the path, or you could know the path. So this comes to like saying yes or no, in a way. So he obviously said no, and he protected himself from that. And then even if you come to think about sex, sharing that state and an energy with someone that you don't even love, that vibration is different. That's a whole different topic right there.
Yeah. I'm just thinking on the basis of, I feel like everybody always have some sort of vision going on, but only a small percentage actually follow through. And is that the case because we have such a mentality of lack or feeling? I won't even touch the mentality of lack first. I'll touch the mentality of what if. Like, I might be in a decision, I know exactly what I should be doing and who I should be spending time with or whatever, or what path I should be taking. But then the thought plays in my head, what if I miss out? what if everybody else goes left and I go right?
Mm.
And if I do follow this vision, what support do I have? I think a lot of people cling on that word, support. Do I have?
Mm. It's a big journey of faith when you follow your vision.
Damn.
All right, we'll move on to the next. Knowing your why. Yeah. Why are you stepping outside your comfort zone? Or, like, you know, when you always take a journey and step away from the average or, like, the activities that a group of people are doing and you stand out, you're going to have that why. Because that's what keeps you going. And the why has to be, that's why I wrote in capitals. Because if you know your why in capitals, it's much stronger than your why is in lowercase. Because you can easily, like, oh, nah, stop this. Like, you don't have enough why. But that's the thing, too. If you're doing it for other people, I feel like you have a stronger why. But if you're doing it for yourself, it's a much smaller why. And then you find yourself probably easier to give up because you're going through emotions when, you know, the resistance comes. I'll give you an example. Like, I want to achieve financial freedom for my family. But if I just do it for myself, I'll probably, like, if when I hit certain obstacles, I'll probably, like, oh, you know what? Maybe it's all right to just work at a job till I'm 65. You know what I mean? But since I have that big why of, like, my family now and then thinking ahead of my family later, it's a much bigger why. Okay, like, this is a bigger field to run on.
Oh, I think something just played in my head while you were speaking that. Could God or the universe in a sense, a life in a sense, not to sound negative or whatever, but would you say, because your why on achieving financial freedom right now is solely dependent on your family remaining where they are? Because if they become so good and so self-sufficient, then your why dies.
For my family right now?
Like, your why depends on you trying to achieve something for them to have a better life.
If they did it, like, from a different, like, you know, on their own or something like that, then what's your motivation?
Well, if they achieved it, let's say my family went lotto, their mindset would be the same. But if you have a different mindset on how you want to achieve it, and then when you do achieve it, you're now, I feel like, oh, since I have achieved it, and this is how I achieved it, and you're passing on that mindset.
Yeah, I think we're saying the same thing in the terms of, suppose they didn't just win the lottery.
Yeah.
They went to a certain place, or they heard from somebody, and somebody said something to them that really clicked. It clicked into mom's mind, and straight away she started reading books, studying, and then she got to the financial freedom before you get there. Your why was based on her, or the rest of the family still being there.
It's funny you say that because some mentors I have, his dad started this organization, and then he became financially free, but his son decided to follow in his footsteps, but his dad didn't help him with the money. He helped him with the mindset. So he went to achieve that himself. So it's not like, all right, my dad figured out a way to make enough for our family to retire. This guy stayed at the job and then followed his dad's footsteps of his teachings to do the same thing. So he didn't retire because his dad was fine when he was financially free. He retired from his job when he became financially freed himself. Does that make sense?
So in that case, your why will shift from family to self? If family became self-sufficient and they didn't want any advice from you, they figured out their own footsteps to get their way running, will you keep going on the same path, regardless of whether they become self-sufficient or not?
Well, I think everybody wants to be achieve something for themselves, always. There's always that great desire of, I want to be able to do this.
Yeah.
For me, not because, like, you know how people have, like, oh, I want to buy my own car. I don't want my family just to pass it down to me. They want to feel that, like, I actually accomplished this.
Yeah.
Not to say just on my own, but, like, you know, put in that effort to know that, you know, I struggled and suffered.
I feel like there's actually less more people going that route anymore now. Everybody's looking for free stuff.
Mm. Well, everyone's looking for shortcuts.
People are looking for free stuff, quick stuff, free stuff. There's not many of, like, this is the statement I always say. Everybody wants to be great, but nobody wants to do anything to be great.
Yeah. Well, you ever seen a photo of the successful, what you think success is? And then it's like, and then a straight line to the goal. But what success really is at the bottom, that picture, is like up and down, up and down, up and down. But people want that straight line, quick access to success with no resistance. And when I saw that last photo where what success really is, that just reminds me of the story of Joseph.
Just going back to the family situation, I'll give you an example. When I was in a state of depression and suicide, not even my family could keep me alive. That why I wasn't enough. And as selfish as it sounds, I had to do it for myself. And when I look at why I do what I do, it's because I love what I do. That's my why. I love what I do. And it's something that I could go the rest of my life doing without getting paid for, because I love what I do. So my why is no longer dependent. Although it brings value to other people, and, you know, that's part of it, it's not so much dependent on my family, because I used to, when I was going out and partying, I used to try and stop partying to please my parents, but I couldn't. I had to do it for myself. I had to want it. Because if you don't want it, then who wants it?
So what if you fail at something, and then you say, oh, why did I fail? And then your brain will give you an answer and say, oh, I failed because I'm stupid. So that's an example of we're asking why would actually be harmful to the situation. So ask better questions, get better answers.
Like, I see what you're saying there in terms of if you ask yourself and say, why did I fail this exam and stuff, you tell you because you're stupid. That's the thought that will come in your mind. Was the why question the wrong question? I don't know, I'm just putting it out on the table. The wrong question. Because from what Tyler just said and what you just said, I think it's the same in the many, but I think it depends on how we tackle it. Because if your mind gives you the answer is because you're stupid, is that... That's not the fault of the question why, is it? Or it's something you're already dwelling in way before you got those, you failed at something. It was like a state of mind you were there before, way before. I'm not sure. What do you guys think?
Yeah, like, I agree. Like, if your mind jumps, like, I just realized, like, the reason why can always go deeper. Like, if you ask yourself why you failed a test, oh, it's because I am stupid, you know, forget about that test, focus now, why do I think that, why was that my response?
Just peeling off layer after layer after layer after layer. When do you stop asking questions? Is there a point where we gotta just stop asking questions and just do something? Because questions leads to more questions, and that leads to more questions, that leads to more questions, that leads to more questions. This is why I love the power of meaning. Because meaning, you ask a couple of questions, and then you just rub everything off. And then you say, this is it. And you just give a final answer. And you just get an answer that, an outcome that you wanted. A meaning. You just give something a meaning. So if you say, because if you ask why, then you go into this chain, especially if you're already in this negative mindset and saying, it's because I'm stupid, it's because my parents hate me, it's because of this test I didn't like or whatever. So at the end of the day, it's just nested, 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 nested. What it does do, what Tyler said was very important, it lets you know where your mind is, the current state of your mind. But if you don't like the current state of your mind, there is no point of keep asking more questions. Because all you're going to get is what's already in there. I think the way to go from there on is now to be, all right, this is the vision, this is where the vision comes important, right? This is where I want to get to. So how do I have to start thinking about things, or how should my mindset change so that this vision can come to pass?
Yeah, that's actually a good protection of from yourself. Because like, if you just isolate yourself from everyone or hang out with anyone, you're still gonna be thinking about something. You're still vulnerable, like with the stuff you look online and the music you listen to, the movies, TV shows, media, and it always gonna tell you this, and yeah, giving a meaning is a really good effective tool to use to protect yourself from stressing yourself out or someone like trying to mess with your head and stuff like that. And that links to self-awareness and self-control. So an example I have for this is, anyone has been in a situation when they spend a lot of money all at once and it's a little bit, it drains you a bit? Yeah, I think we all have. But why I wrote self-awareness is like, we pay by card now. We just tap. Oh, $3, tap. Oh, it's just $6, tap. And then by the end of the week, when you decide to check your bank account, you're like, hey, how did I spend $347? I swear I only spent like maybe $8. And then you go track back, blah, 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 and you're like, oh, this all adds up. And the thing is, some of my mates have shared their town stories and their town spendings to me, and it kind of like, it shocked me because they're like, oh man, I spent $400 for two nights out. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, that's shocking, because back in the day, I feel bad for spending like $8 a week on iced coffee. And the thing is, I've seen people, my mates, who, you know, they have that self-awareness now, yeah?
I've come across a lot of people who feel bad for spending money. But does that belief come from a lack mentality? Because, not to say, you know, you shouldn't manage, but I don't feel guilty when I go have dinner by myself.
Yeah, but I'm saying the situation I'm using is, I have experienced my mate who, he has self-awareness now. He's like, bro, I don't want to go out, because when I go out, I'm around these people who wants to drink, and then I end up doing the same thing. Because I seen one of my mates, on like a Sunday or Monday, they always talk about it like, bro, I spent this much money last night and then I didn't want to go out, but they fell into the peer pressure.
Yeah, but I feel like that lack of everyone thinking I've spent this much money is if money doesn't flow.
But just to clarify, because I think you guys are essentially on the same plane but just on different perspective, because you're referring to condemnation, he's referring to management. The management side of things is what we're discussing, but condemnation is also right. It's like, for every mistake you made, you shouldn't beat yourself up for making that mistake. But you should learn how to do it correctly so you don't make that same mistake
again.
That's
where the self-control comes in.
Yeah, so you're talking about the recovery process. You're talking about the condemnation process. And you're right, in terms of never beat yourself for anything. No mistake is worth beating yourself for. No spending money is worth condemning yourself for, because it's essentially condemnation leads to more condemnation and it's a loop cycle. Mm-hmm. But then, now that we're not beating ourselves up for what we've done, we still need to know how to manage it correctly, which is what Earth is going to teach us to do.
And speaking of management, I read in this book, I believe it's The Compound Effect, where he talks about managing people, where he labels certain groups a five-minute friend, where these are the people who you only want to spend basic conversation with, because all they do...
I have a lot of five-minute friends. Quick. Yeah. Quick, we talk quick. I
just
need to
talk
get out
about,
of here.
Just like, Yeah, and then the 5-hour friend is like someone you can have like some, you know, spend some time with, and you know, it's not all negative and contradict your energy, but the 5-week friend is the people who you can always just hang out with and never, ever, like, get bored of it in a way. So you always want to be around them because you're always liking their energy and they're feeding you and you're growing with them. So for the 5-week friends, it's kind of like this. Like, we always want to grow, right? So if we had more sessions like this every day, or let's say we hang out every single day, we'll all grow dramatically. But if we always hang around these 5-minute friends, how far can you go?
Already, some individuals, me spending 5 minutes with them is draining. And there's people like that that we need to stay away from that just, they're after just draining your energy.
Yeah.
Don't give anything. They just drain. And you go to them full, but you leave empty. So when I have someone like that, if I used to give you 5 minutes, I've reduced to now 30 seconds, quick. How you doing, man? How you doing? Yeah, man, I'm doing. How's your week? Your week is good? Yeah, man, I'll see you again. Take it. Bye, man. Bye. I'm out. And it's not like, I think sometimes we have this mentality that we got to help everybody. Yeah. I think that's it's a big mistake.
I actually read in this book, The 12 Rules of Life, and he said, before you help someone, ask them why did they need help. Because some people just want to play that victim. And then, you know, when you feel sorry for them and listen to their story, and then next week they're still telling the same story, that's draining too. That's really draining.
That validation.
Yeah. They just want you to tell you what they want you to, like, what they want to hear, and just, like, pat them. Oh, it's all right. Maybe tomorrow will be better for you.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I've been doing recently ever since coming to sort of this group is, yeah, like, don't go out of your way to help someone because they need to want that help,
yeah.
You know. It comes back round to loads of stuff we've discussed before, like clinging on, sort of not willing to grow.
You don't want to drag someone. You want to like put out your hand and then for them to take your hand and then they start walking again.
Yeah.
Not like you reach out your hand, they grab them, they don't want to sit up, but you're dragging them.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
It's like, hey, do you want to hang out sometime? And it's like, yeah, but I'm doing this, you know, I feel really bad because of this. And you're just like, okay, yeah, if you don't want to hang out, that's your choice. I'm not going to make the effort.
Have you seen like a guy broken down in his car on the highway or whatever, and he's just sitting there and the car's broken? You probably will drive straight past, but if he's like pushing it and like trying to push the car, you might stop over and try and give him a lift.
Yeah. That's a good analogy, yeah.
I used to feel really guilty, really, really guilty when people come to me, and I knew that by me associating with them, it was almost like a 160-10. I used to feel really guilty. But it's just better for both of us, for me and that person, for them to, now let me just change that. It's sometimes when people are on the road of self-destruction, the biggest blessing is to leave them, because they'll come to that awakening themselves. They'll come to that realization and go, I desire now to change.
Yeah, I just want to mention to never feel guilty for putting someone in that box of a 5-minute friend. There's some people that need to be there. They must be there for your own growth sake and for their growth sake. And actually, I should struggle with this, and someone will come in and look for validation, and I'll just go in and I'll spend hours and hours studying the certain thing they're struggling with to help them, and then I'll send it to them and I'll be like, all right, let's catch up, and I'll teach 5-6 hours of teaching a certain individual. And then the week after, they ask me the same very question. And then it will be like a pattern. And then I'll realize, if I stop teaching them and I tell them, man, you're definitely going through something hard. You're definitely going through something difficult, man. You deserve this or you deserve that. Then they light up. It's like all these hours of teaching to get you out of it was actually a waste, because you took nothing out of it. You were just waiting for me to say you deserve better. Oh, that statement.
Yeah, like as someone who I've been told throughout my life that a lot of people consider me like that helpful friend, you know, people have issues, they just message me. And so, yeah, a lot of the time they'll message me and I'll sort of talk to them, discuss what they want. And then at the end, they just go like, thanks, Tyler, you know, and I'm just like, yeah, okay. I've done my job, you know, I've done what I can. I'm not going to put pressure on myself to keep pushing at them. I've given them the advice I can. They've got to want to help themselves now.
So this is what the benefits I find when I surround myself with people with positive energy and that want to help you. So they help me be accountable. So it's just like I'm in a group of with like some other mates outside of this as well, where they tell me what I need to hear, not what I want to hear. And they push me to grow and stuff like that. And when you're around people who are always growing, you want to grow as well. They say, like, if you don't want to be in a room where you're the smartest or whatever person in the room. You want to be, like, you know, at the bottom because you want to go up. They want to lift you. The only time I would say you're the person in highest in the room is when you give value to other people to help them grow. So that was, it's pretty much, like, if you want to replace a bad habit or get rid of a bad habit, it's to replace it. You can't just sit there and do nothing. Because if you, like, let's say I want to get away from these people, now I'm just going to sit in my room, you're still going to find something to do. And then you're going to run into people on the internet, on YouTube, because, you know, you can't keep still. And
usually, you'll run into people on the internet with the same kind of attitude and you'll find yourself watching them. Because you're still in that mindset, even because you haven't replaced anything here, right?
Because Google is not a research engine, it's a search engine. You're searching what's on your mind. And it's just like what you, if you really want to look for something, you'll find it. Seek, you shall find.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends who are into like spiritual stuff, and so they quite like to do like tarot card readings. And obviously you can believe in that, you cannot believe in that, but I think it's similar to the Bible, like psychological truth. And I can't remember the card exactly, but the one thing I've learned from that is this one that says, like, not making a decision is in itself a decision. Like, if you want to go into your room and sit there, like, that's your choice, you know? You can't feel like you're just not deciding because you've chosen to be there.